Amen. What a joy to come together and to sing worship to our Lord. We continue to worship this morning as we are in the book of Philippians once again. There we go. Have you enjoyed Philippians? Are you telling the truth? Last week is pretty tough. As we looked at the text, it says, do everything, and I'm going to put it the way that I learned the verse, without grumbling or complaining. A lot of people walked out, and you said, man, that really liked that. And I was like, really? I didn't like that at all. Because it stepped on my toes way too much. And as we look at the text over and over again, and we go through it, so many things that it deals with our heart as we look at Paul as he is going through the tremendous struggle of being in prison. You'll remember that Paul has been in prison basically for sharing the gospel. And what's taken place is that Epaphroditus has brought money to him to help him while he's in prison. I've seen several people in jails and prisons over the years, and let me tell you what, if you're in prison, you want some money, all right? It's a different way to do it anymore. A lot of places you can get them a card where they can buy stuff and make telephone calls on, and it's amazing. I went one place, they gave me a list of all the stuff they could buy at the prison or the jail commissary. It's amazing. And that's what has taken place here, is Epaphroditus has come along and encouraged Paul, brought him some funding, and helped him while he is there. And it's amazing, though, as we read through this, as this letter that's to the Philippians that he gives to Epaphroditus, and we see just his heart of joy through it all. We've looked in chapter 1, and we've seen how that he has seen all these difficult things that have taken place within his life, that they are a blessing for how that they have turned to the ability to be able to share the gospel. And he just always sees things in such a positive way, a joyful way, as being able to serve the Lord in a different way. We come to chapter 2 and we saw verses 5 through 11, that great hymn of the church, and speaking about Christ and the tremendous sacrifice that he has made on our behalf. Then we moved into working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Not that we're concerned that we will lose our salvation, but that we are living it out to its utmost of what God has given us. And as we are living that way, then it moves into last week with the grumbling and disputing, is what it says in the English Standard Version. Tested your hearts, doesn't it? As you realize that when we complain and when we argue, who are we ultimately complaining about? The Lord. Has He put you in the positions that you have found yourself in this week? Yeah. And we saw that it is about the holding forth the word of life. And whenever you are sharing the gospel and it is out of a complaining heart, who are you complaining about? You're complaining about the one that has sent his son to die on the cross for you. Talk about a selfish heart. And I don't know about you, but that just kind of ripped me apart last week. And he continues on. And he talks about his life as it seems, as you read in the book of Philippians, he's not complaining. He is so grateful for all that has taken place because what God has heaped, it seems, on him. And he says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This picture is that he is being poured out his life for the sake of the gospel. Now, in the Old Testament, whenever there would be an offering that would be made, there's different offerings that could be made, but one of them was where the sacrifice would be totally consumed. Oftentimes, a lamb would be put on the altar and it would be totally consumed. And as it's being consumed, you would take a literally like a glass or a cup of wine and you would pour it over the offering. And that picture of giving of everything that you have to the Lord. Today, many people would say one of the things that they would enjoy would be a good glass of wine. Now, I'm not one that drinks wine. I don't drink any alcohol of any kind, but you have heard that before. It is as if it's anything that would be extra is poured out on the sacrifice. And what is it? It's a picture of that sweet smell going to the Lord. And here it is, it's added to with the sweet smell. That picture of surrender to the Lord is of Paul here as he is offering himself up as a sacrifice. Paul, with his life, has poured out everything since he had become a believer. He has left nothing behind. Let me ask you, is your life a life of sacrifice? Think about it. Is it a life of sacrifice? Paul is calling us along and telling us that his life has been, it has been poured out as a sacrifice. And we see it's because often because of the ministry of the Philippians that has been to him. And you notice it says he's poured out because of how that they've ministered, and he wants to be an extra drink offering even on top of that offering. He's poured it out in sacrificial obedience to the Lord. Those things of personal value to him, those things of personal joy to him, he's laid on the altar as a life of sacrifice. Now, many commentators, they'll look at this text and they say, well, you know what? We don't think that in this text, and I don't know if they're right or wrong. It doesn't matter to me. They say he's not expecting to give his life at this point whenever he's writing this passage. That may be true, may not be true. But let me tell you where it is true. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." By the time he has written this to Timothy, he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has laid out his life to the point that he is going to die for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was shortly after this that tradition tells us that his head was lopped off by a Roman executioner for serving Christ. He was willing to go to the nth degree in sacrifice to serve Christ. And he seems to speak of it as a joy. It sounds absolutely crazy. But you hear his joy all throughout this book. I dare propose to you that sacrifice should be normal to the Christian life. It is something within our day and age, we have gotten to the point that we don't want sacrifice to be a part of our lives. I mean, you hear about it when our nation goes to war anymore. Not saying one way or another on the wars, but we're not called to sacrifice. There's a few of you around here that were around during World War II. All right, there's one of them. All right, did y'all have to sacrifice anything?
Gasoline, sugar, coffee.
I'm curious, do you remember how much gasoline you guys used to get? Yeah, that's been a week or two ago, so she can't remember. All right, but yeah, you had an amount of gasoline that you had. Why? Because of the war effort. You had a certain amount of sugar. You know, we sit here and go, well, who cares how much sugar you have? We buy a bag of sugar, what is it, 5 pounds or 3 pounds, whatever it is anymore. They probably left the price the same and shrunk the amount of sugar you get. But, you know, that's not a big deal to at least our household, because guess what we get? We get Oreos. All right? Probably didn't have Oreos in World War II. I mean, so it cut down on your sweet intake. And you sacrificed all of these things because of the boys that were overseas fighting on our behalf. And you read about some of those things and you see some of the propaganda videos that came out in the movie theaters and things of that nature. It was as if we all got together and we sacrificed for the war. And now you hear as they went into Korea and then into Vietnam and then over into the Middle East. We've got to go to war, but we can't make our people do what? Sacrifice. It can't cost them anything. And we've gotten to the point in a nation that there seems to be no point of thinking about sacrifice within our lives. So it is within the church. As long as we don't have to sacrifice, we'll serve the Lord. As long as it doesn't get in the way of anything of our life, we'll serve Christ. Paul didn't know that. As a matter of fact, he says in Romans chapter 12, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I love the old King James there. Anybody got a King James Bible with them? What's it say? Well, I didn't make you open it up, so I'll tell you. It says, which is your reasonable service. I love that. World War II, nobody thought, you know, yeah, it was inconvenient that you had to sacrifice, but we were all doing it for the benefit of our nation. Just part of life. See, what Paul is calling us to is to presenting this body as a living sacrifice to the Lord, holy and acceptable. Everything about our being, he says, it is normal that this is what takes place, our reasonable service, our spiritual worship. Jim and I had the discussion, I think it was this last Wednesday, about the term worship leader. And he said, that kind of bothers me sometimes that I'm the worship leader. And we use that term, and we've battered that terminology around before around here with personnel and stuff of that nature, and we understood some of the issues with that. But it's not that it's all in him, because why? When's worship take place? Is it just here on Sunday mornings? It's our life. And it's living our lives sacrificially before the Lord. Think about, what have you sacrificed? I mean, we live in a time where nobody is to sacrifice. You think about just your personal treasure, the money that you have. Do you sacrifice it? Is it sacrificial as you give? What about your time? Is it sacrificial as you give it? Those things that you want to do, those things that would bring you joy, what you think bring you joy. I mean, you look at all the stuff that we are involved with in our society today that we have to make us happy or to make us joyful, and the money that we spend on that, and we're not willing to sacrifice of anything. Paul put it later on, we'll preach on it as we go through Philippians, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Do you? Do you realize what He has done? He's paid the price for your sin. He loves you that much. He was the ultimate sacrifice. As we go back and we look at those verses earlier in the chapter, and we see the tremendous sacrifice on our behalf as an example to us. Are we sacrificial with our lives? You may have seen it a few weeks ago during the Democratic National Convention. The Kahn family got up and they spoke about the sacrifice of their son. I'm not going to try to pronounce the first name because I got it wrong every time, but Captain Kahn that was killed. And then they interviewed Donald Trump afterwards. And they asked what sacrifice he has made for this nation. And he'd made some comments that had been accepted as pretty degrading to the family. And it just didn't seem to add up. He said, "I work very hard. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs. I've raised tons of money." And he said a couple other things. And then he said, "My popularity with vets is through the roof." You missed it, dude. Sacrifice. He's trying to compare that against the loss of a son. Folks, we don't understand sacrifice. Yes, there are some that have. But what have you sacrificed? I mean, think about what is true sacrifice within your life. Before too long, we'll spend a Sunday or two looking at tithing and giving and offerings and things of that nature, and we're going to deal with that. I'm not going to tell you when, so you'll come anyway. All right, but we'll do it. But what have you sacrificed? Yeah, I look at my life, I go, you know, some people say, you know what, you've sacrificed quite a bit, you've been in ministry. You could have had some other jobs that paid a lot more and things of that nature. But I look back over my life, and not much, if any, sacrifice. Tithe regularly. Give. Quite a sacrifice. You know what, I've been tithing since this man right down in here, see my wife right over here, this is my dad. Has anybody noticed that he kind of favors how I look? All right, you shave him, we look like twins. All right, it's scary. But at 9 years of age, 8 or 9 years, I remember him walking into the house on Oriole Street and giving me my first allowance, and I think he had 10 nickels. And he said, "Steve, one of these belongs to the Lord." I remember it like it's yesterday. Now, I was probably that high. You know what? It has been assumed since that point in my life that I was going to give a tithe to the Lord. I got the 50 cents a week then, and then after that, started delivering newspapers and worked at a hospital and a cafeteria and then J.C. Penney's for several years. And you know what? Ever since that point, it's really not much sacrifice. It's just part of my life. Not sacrificial. It's what I've done since I was 9 years old. Moved away from your family. You know what? I get the opportunity to talk to my family quite regularly. There were people that go overseas years ago and they wouldn't talk to their family for months and years, and it'd only be letters that would be going back and forth for months. I call up Dad pretty regularly and he answers his phone. "Hi, son, where are you going?" I mean, that's just how he does a lot of times because he knows I call him when I'm in the car headed someplace. Not much sacrifice. If any. does Christ truly cost you? I mean, as I looked back at me, I'm like, very, very little. And here's Paul, before too long, as he's writing this text, will be laying down his life because of the gospel. It's one thing to come together and to sing and to praise the Lord in worship, but it's another thing to live it out as we start on Monday morning. It's easy to sing these songs. They're wonderful songs. You can even endure 40 minutes of me standing up here and talking. But it's when you go home and you have to live it out without the complaining and without the arguing. And then he comes along and he has lived it out sacrificially, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we look at our life of what we've sacrificed. Very little. You willing to accept the call of God on your life no matter what it is? If he's called you to missions, are you willing to go? Doesn't matter where. Will you go? What's the Lord called you to sacrifice? As a matter of fact, it's your very life. Last week, you guys missed it. You're on fall break. But they had a national Carry Your Bible to School Day. Y'all didn't have to because you were on break. What if the Lord called you to carry your Bible? You say, that's a pretty simple thing. You know, I got thinking about that. Missionaries that we had a few weeks ago, they made the statement that, and one of the things that we've helped them do before is buy little SD cards that can go into phones, not like an Apple. But they can go into an Apple and or into their phones and they can download the Jesus video. They can download Bibles. And what they like about it is that it is what he called stealthy. Because they could carry a Bible around and they didn't get in trouble for having Scripture with them. Their two kids that they'd adopted were saved because of the Jesus video on those cards. Amen. I'm here to tell you, what greater ministry could we have than that? But I got to thinking, you know what? I remember when these phones came out and I was so excited that I could push this button and right there, I've got the Bible. It's so convenient. It's so easy. But for years, I carried a New Testament. And you know what? I get to thinking about it. I whipped out that New Testament a whole lot more than I whipped this thing out. It's a sacrifice. However you want to look at it, I don't know. But it was something that was there. How many different ways are you a sacrifice for the Lord? Luke 14:33 tells us, so therefore, if any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's pretty narrow. Being his disciple is sacrificial. Following Christ. He says later on in Matthew, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. sacrificial. You live in a life of sacrifice? Are we teaching our children to be sacrificial with their lives? A story was told about a man named Sundar Singh. And they were traveling through a pass in the Himalayan mountains. And at one point, they came across a body that was lying in the snow. Sundar Singh wished to stop and help the unfortunate man. But his companion refused, saying, "We'll both lose our lives if we burden ourselves with him." Sundar Singh would not think of leaving the man to die in the ice and the snow. As his companion bade him farewell, Sundar Singh lifted the poor traveler onto his back. With great exertion on his part, he bore the man onward. But gradually the heat from Sundar Singh's body began to warm up the poor frozen fellow, and he revived. Soon both were walking together side by side, catching up with his former companion. They found him dead, frozen by the cold. In the case of Sundar Singh, he was willing to lose his life on behalf of another. And in the process, he found it. His friend wasn't willing to risk his life, but he lost his life. So many times we think the sacrifice just isn't worth it. And God's Word calls us to sacrifice. It's that song, "I Surrender All." Yeah, Grady and Rogers, and I've quoted him many times on this. He's made that statement. We want to commit certain parts of our lives rather than surrender. Surrender's what? It's all. All to you, Lord. Total surrender. Pouring out our lives. Have you thought about an offering? Can you imagine taking an offering and here you have a perfect lamb or whatever it is that you have to offer, different things it can be. But I mean, this perfect lamb and you offer it up, and if it's a total burnt offering, it all literally goes up in smoke. What good is that? It's a waste. Except for what? The Lord in the Old Testament had commanded him to do that, and then the drink offering was pouring out that extra upon it. So many people say, you know what, I don't want to give anything to the Lord. It's because it is just a waste. I don't want to give time serving the Lord, worshiping Him. I don't want to give time sharing Christ with others. I don't want to do all these different things that we are called to do as believers because it is a great waste. And to the world, it appears to be a waste. But His great sacrifice to the Lord. As we serve on the altar of sacrifice, the altar of faith, we see here within the text, "Even I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith." Man, what a waste burning up that animal. We sacrifice our lives on the altar of what? What we believe that's stated here. How's faith come? Yeah. We've looked at that over and over again. It is by knowing God's Word. We were asking in our Sunday school class this morning about how that the Holy Spirit works within our life, and one of the greatest works that we have is He brings to remembrance His Word within our life. You've got to know His Word for Him to bring it to remembrance within our life and help us to live out this Christian life. Folks, it says we are faithful in sacrifice. Some of you, just an easy picture of it is tithing. Some of you to begin to tithe, would be a great sacrifice. Because you don't. What is it? It's obedience. Is it hard to be obedient? Yeah. Because you step out in faith and you obey what God's Word says. Is it hard to share the gospel with people? Yes, because it's obedience. It is stepping out in faith. You have no idea what the result will be when you do it. Faith. You trust God in the midst. As a matter of fact, he tells us in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Do you understand? That's what happens, is you hear his words, you apply his word, and then you live it out within your life. What a joy it is whenever we see that faith lived out. You go back and you look here in Philippians. And as Paul is talking and saying, you know what? Yeah, I've been put in prison, but look at all that's taken place because of it. He's not having a pity party. He's grateful. By faith, he trusts the Lord. He loves that verse. All things work together for good to them that love him and those who are called according to his purpose. He knows that is going to take place. He not only just had knowledge, but he knows and he looks at his life and he sees it taking place. You see, he joys. We see in the last part of verse 17, it says, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Rejoice what? That he's in prison? That he can't do what he wants to do? That life isn't going the way that he wants? He says, rejoice with me. As he sacrifices. See, his deal is that he looks to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Where does he keep looking to? All that has taken place, and he continues to look towards Jesus. Over and over and over and over again. You say, preacher, you know what? Sometimes you sound like a broken record. Start thinking about who Christ is within your life as you go through struggles, as you go through the hard times of life, as health problems are taking place. And look at it in the focus of Christ and what he has done for you. Rejoice. Say, I can't rejoice when I'm hurting. Yeah, you can. It's a choice. It is a decision. And guess what? It's a command. Rejoice. You think Paul had any physical issues going on? I was shared with you, Dad had hurt his foot and he'd gotten hit by something and it hurt his leg and went all the way down into his toe. And then we took him to the doctor Monday and they took an x-ray of it and said he's got a little bit of arthritis in one of his foot. And he says, oh yeah, that's whenever that 2x6 hit my foot. I didn't know about that 2x6. But guess what? Continues on through the midst of it. You rejoice. Pour it out in everything that you do. Where are you today? Do you live a life of sacrifice? What are those areas? Have you just gotten comfortable? You know what? Man, I've done this for years, and I've done it the same way for years, and I've done this for years, and I've done this for years, and I've done this. And they're all in areas of obedience and wonderful. But they come to the point of sacrifice in your life. What joy it is to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul poured it out all so that people would come to know Christ. Where are you today? Maybe you're here today, you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. And you say, you know what, Pastor, it sounds like to me to come to accept Christ is great sacrifice. As you come and you receive what He has done and to have Him to be Lord of your life. Some people see it as that way, but you know what? It is the greatest gift that has ever been given as you realize what you deserve. And you see, that's what happens is as we as believers, we understand that we deserve this place called hell. And God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. And we as believers hopefully never get over that love. We sacrifice. And one of those things that we all try to do is we try to sacrifice for our kids and let it be seen or let them be able to do what they desire to do because of the sacrifice. And you know what? It's wonderful. What's it feel like when you get sacrificed for them? Isn't it great? As they enjoy it, what a joy it is. What a joy it is to sacrifice for Christ. And you see Him working through. If you accept Christ as your Savior, the sacrifice that was made for you.